Morning.
First off, I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me the opportunity to speak. And of course, to the congregation. I greatly appreciate being able to open up God's word to you and in front of you. But there is a disclaimer. I am not an experienced preacher. I'm not seasoned. So what this means, you'll probably eat lunch early. And in my study, I wanted to make sure that I presented a good lesson. And how do you present a good sermon? Well, my research showed me that I needed a really good introduction and a really great conclusion. And the closer I get them two together, the better my sermon will be. But this morning, I wanted to talk about David and Goliath. And it's a story about fear. It's a story about courage. It's a story about faith. But I wanted to look at it in a different through a different lens, through a different perspective, because I believe there's battles leading up to the one where David fought Goliath. David's going to face three battles, and one of those battles is going to be with Goliath. But he's going to have some battles along the way. He's going to have some persecution. He's going to have to face things that he didn't see coming. And so in order to paint the picture, we need to go back to Harold's childhood. So it's about 3,000 years ago today, or about 1,000 years before Christ. It's in the Valley of Elah, and we see there's two mountains on each side. One is the camp of the Philistines, and one is the camp of Israel. See, during this time frame, Israel has suffered the persecution of the Philistines. And if Clay will go to the next slide, it'll show this, of course, is a pictorial of the near future, of course. But this shows basically the two mountains with the valley between them. And so the next slide will introduce us to David. David is a young man. He's the son of Jesse. He's the youngest of eight siblings. And he's a shepherd. But he's a brave young man. In this story of David and Goliath, Jesse is going to pack up food and send it with David to the camp of Israel, where David is going to first encounter his first fight, the first battle. And this battle is going to be with his brother, the oldest of eight. The one that has inherited the right of the eldest, that during this time gets the double portion of inheritance. And he has this confrontation at the battlegrounds. In verse 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down here to see the battle.'" You see, Eliab's jealous, in a sense. And that may stem from chapter 16 in the book of Samuel. You see, the prophet Samuel came into the house of Jesse looking for the next king of Israel. And as he went through the sons of Jesse, he did not find one that found favor with God. And so when Samuel asked Jesse if that was all his sons, he said, "But there's one left, and that's David." David was out tending to the sheep and tending to the flock when they brought him in. God found favor with David, and he was anointed. And so here we find David not only in battle with Eliab, but in battle with those men around him. He doesn't really have the credibility with these men because he's not young enough for war age. Eliab makes three accusations against David. He tells him he's neglecting his duty as a shepherd, that he's prideful, and that his wicked curiosity has brought him here to see this battle. But it's with the understanding that God rejected Eliab as a future king. It's 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 through 13. But David has a firm response, not only to Eliab, but to those men as well. And David said, beginning in verse 29, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did, reminding those men that it's about a cause. There's a theme throughout chapter 17 with David, and it's the fact that David never uses the pronoun I. It's never about David. It's about David doing his service to God. The cause is more important. And he continues that with Eliab and the others. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Even though David was scorned by his brothers, David was fighting that battle for Israel, not himself. The book of Romans in chapter 8, verse 37 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And then from that conversation, David doesn't yield. He doesn't go home. He doesn't give up. He doesn't say, "Eliab, you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about." He stands fast. And then he's faced with another battle. King Saul. And we see that Saul is the king of Israel at this time. And he lays out the reward. "If you fight Goliath, I will give you my daughter's hand in marriage. I'll give you wealth. I'll give you everything that we really want. Tax exemption, right? For you and your family." Never once does David even acknowledge the reward. It wasn't about that. But for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath tormented the nation of Israel, asking for one man to come fight him, and the victor of that battle would inherit the other nation as a slave. A lot of commentaries will tell you that the nation of Israel believed that Saul should have been the one to fight Goliath based on stature alone, for Saul was described as a tall man, probably one of the tallest Israelites at that time. But yet he didn't. And no person came to Saul and said, "I'll fight Goliath," except for David. Saul summons David, and David declares to him that he would fight Goliath. Saul reminds him that he's too young. He's not even of age for the military. But remember, it's Samuel 16, verse 13. David is sanctified by the Spirit. To the point Saul wants to prove his point, he wraps him basically in his war armor, and David can't even walk. He takes it off. We're told in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, not to be afraid of our enemies. Brother McKee once said it best to me when he said, "Clay, your enemies will give you the best insults of anybody." And he had a great point. See, David was strengthened by his past experiences. David reminds King Saul of that. He said, "God delivered me from that paw of a lion." Can you imagine facing a lion? We see them in zoos. We see them from the safety of glass or a barrier to where we're protected. But imagine facing a lion. I got the opportunity one time to go on a safari in Africa. And on the safari, we were watching and getting to see all the animals. A herd of zebras come by, and you could tell by keeping it G-rated that the zebra was attacked by a lion, and we knew that that lion was close. So we set it and waited. And at several minutes go by, minutes turn into 5 minutes, which turns into 20, and our patience gets tested. The windows in the car come down. We get a little more impatient, but we want to see the lion. We've done this a couple of times. We decide that maybe if we get out of the car, we'll find it. Not realizing what we're really doing. And about that time, some park rangers come up and politely remind us that if we wanted to see a lion in our state, in our condition, that we're probably also going to feel his teeth and his breath as he launches into us. So we immediately, back in the car, the safety of the car, windows up, of course, and carry it on our way. I couldn't imagine the bravery it takes to face a lion, let alone David reminds Saul that God protected him from the paw of a bear. I don't know which one would be worse. And yeah, I've got a story on this. When I was in Canada, I had a day off, and a few friends and I went mountain bike riding through the Canadian wilderness. We hit a plateau, which had a steep cliff, and off it went, and it took a 90-degree turn out in the middle of the field and went into the woods, so we elected that it would probably be best if we sent our most experienced rider down first, not knowing what would be encountered at the 90-degree bend into the woods. And so off he went. And he did a great job going through the trail until he went out of sight. And then we heard the loudest scream. A crash. It sounded like a bicycle going through a shredder. And so we instantly jump on our bikes and go down after. And as soon as we round the bend, you can see him standing up the bike and running with it, trying to get on board that bike and get pedaling. As we saw a baby black bear cub on the side of the trail. And at that point, he screams as loud as he can, bear. At that point, it doesn't matter how tired you are, how much energy you don't have, you pedal. And you pedal for a couple of minutes trying to figure out if you've made it to safety until you realize maybe it's not safety I'm looking for. Maybe I just need to not be last. And I knew the rest of them were thinking the exact same thing because we all assessed our position within that race. We made it out just fine, but I couldn't imagine the bravery it takes to face the bear, let alone the lion. And then for David to have to face Goliath. You see, Goliath stood 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had a 14-foot spear with a 16-pound tip on the end of it. His armor alone weighed 150 pounds. David's got an answer for him because he met him on the valley. He faced him knowing that God would be triumphant. He told David, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you under our hands." He's the one that's going to deliver us. David is fighting Goliath with the simplest, most primitive weapon of all, a sling and a rock. That's all he has. Goliath is well protected, well armored. And David picks up 5 stones. And you say, Clay, how does David have the faith you talk about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when he picks up five stones and there's one person to fight? Don't stop reading when you get to the end of chapter 17. Get to chapter 21 and then correlate the two. You see, the reason he picked up five stones was because the Philistine army had four other giants. So David understood that he was going to be victorious over Goliath, but he was also prepared in case there was another fight. He understood the fact that he had the arsenal to win whatever battle he needed to face for God. In order to deliver the nation of Israel, he was prepared. He had the faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in our triumph in Christ." We are going to face battles, and we have probably seen battles. Battles with friends and with family, battles with our bosses, battles with our coworkers, battles with people of authority that tell us we're going to challenge your faith. Well, why do you pray here? Do you need to pray here? This is the work center. Can't you do that at home? Why do you go to church on Sundays? Why do you come back Sunday night? A lot of people will try to give contradictions to the Bible and say, well, look, David picked up five stones, not one. We may have to explain that. It's going to take study. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take courage. Corinthians chapter 15 tells us who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith demands that. It demands bravery. It demands strength. It demands courage. We don't get to just go into the closet and put on the Christian suit and wear it on Sunday and then hang it up Sunday night and go about our day. Throughout the week with it put away. When we put it on through obeying the gospel, it's on permanently. But know that Ephesians chapter 6 tells us how to put on the full armament of God and face the battles we will face. There's strength in that. You will get stronger. You will learn. You will take on studies with other people. Through study, through perseverance, you'll get better and better and better. I was deployed once and had a co-worker of mine. And when we started our Bible study, we got to talking about instrumental music in the church. And at the time, I could only rattle off about two scriptures in the New Testament. By the end of this study, I had all them memorized. The nine verses that tell us about music in the church. So if you've never put on the armament of God, if you've never obeyed the gospel call to hear, to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, all that is here this morning. All that is available to you. It's Christ's invitation for you. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but those battles you've come up against, you wonder if you have the strength. You wonder if you have the courage or the bravery that it takes. If you're struggling and you need the prayers of the church is ready and here to assist you. Whatever your need or however we can help, if you would, please come forward as we stand and sing.